Blog Talk Radio.
Catholic to sign the Declaration of Independence, Charles Carroll from Maryland. I think it was one of the first Roman Catholic archbishops in the United States was Archbishop Carroll, I think, of Baltimore. This date is important for Hungarians. In 1802, Louis Kossuth, who was the founder of Hungary, and it's his birthday in 1802. Joseph Pasternak, a famous director, did Anchors Away, born today. A Supreme Court Justice, Lewis Powell from Virginia, former head of the American Bar Association, an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court, appointed by Richard Nixon. Then we had William Golding, Lord of the Flies, born today. Famous act, soprano, Metropolitan Opera. American singer, Blanche Thebem, Lurleen Wallace, she succeeded George Wallace as governor of Alabama, born today. She died of cancer. We had Mike Royko, who I knew when I was in Chicago, Chicago Daily News. Last time I saw him, we had a bit of a dust-up at the Democratic Convention, which we were both covering here in San Francisco in 1984, and he's author of the great book, which every one who's interested in political science should read, the called Boss. It was about Mayor Richard Daley. Then, if you liked Man from U.N.C.L.E. And The Great Escape, a movie with Steve McQueen, World War II, and it's based on a true story of Allied prisoners of war, mostly airmen, who were in a Gestapo-run, not a Gestapo, a Luftwaffe-run POW camp in Germany, David McKellen's born today. And then, if you remember the Mamas and the Papas, Cass Elliot was born in 1943. Among the deaths today, among the events today, the English defeated the French at the Battle of Poitiers in the 13th century. George Washington gave his farewell address. The first commercial laundry, guess where it was set up? In 1849, it was set up in Oakland, California. Oakland's not known for much besides Occupy and being where Gertrude Stein lived. And she says, well, Oakland is just there. And then in 1877, the first Black Friday, which was a financial disaster, Jay Cook Company was in trouble. 1934, we had Bruno Hauptmann, who was arrested for and accused of kidnapping and killing the Lindbergh baby. Some people think he was railroaded. And then in 1940, the Gentile women were barred by the Nazi Party from working in Jewish homes. In 1945, Haha was an Englishman. I think his name was William Joyce. He broadcast for the Nazis, and he did the same thing that American woman did for the Nazis, and also who Tokyo Rose, Rosie Aquina, who I knew after she got out of prison. Mart Haha went to Nazi Germany and broadcast during World War II. After the war, he was captured, he was tried and sentenced to be hanged for treason, and he was. In 1959, Nikita Khrushchev was visiting the United States on a state visit. He was denied access to Disneyland down in Southern California. San Francisco's Mayor George Christopher helped salvage that diplomatic trip and invited Khrushchev to San Francisco, and we will play that interview George Christopher gave me before he died. We'll play that Friday. And then in 1957, we had the first underground nuclear test in Las Vegas. They're going through a lot of nuclear fallout with their the worst real estate market in their history. Las Vegas, you know, the miracle in the desert set up by the New York mafia, New York Jewish mafia. And among the deaths today, very important, James Garfield, President of the United States, was assassinated by a disgruntled office speaker. This happened in 1881. Among the things that people should be concerned about is a section we're doing on labor pains and what's happening, things that are not broadcast or published in American media. And the important thing is that workers are not being represented by the unions, even though in several cases, like one case, major UPS case in Texas, where this worker who was injured, he was discharged illegally. He never received any information and anything in the mail about attending a meeting, and so they discharged him or fired him illegally. And so these are things that go on. Yet he had paid dues to the union, the Teamsters, and it's a big scandal. It's a growing scandal. And then we have an interview with the descendant of one of America's great labor leaders. You can see pictures of them on this blog talk. And the guy's name for the purpose of the interview is Jim. He works for a non-union international corporation. And he has some interesting insights on the Occupy movement. He has a degree in English, went to an American public university, and he does tutoring after he works at his job at this corporation. And I am looking for that interview. I know we had it because I did it the other day. And boy, this is maybe I have too many interviews here. But anyway, here we go. Descendant of a major American. What happened to him here? Union founder, the American Federation of Labor. He was involved with that. Anyway, I'm just looking for it right here because we have a lot of interviews here. And excuse me, still have this cold. And where the heck is it? And we're just going to bring it up in a minute. I've got about 100 here. Maybe it's time to get rid of some of these. Let me just get it right here because it's a very important, his aspects, his opinion on his views as a young man on the Occupy movement. We have not, as far as I know, nobody who is descended from some of the American labor union founders are people who 100 years ago or so, such as, I don't know if anybody's related to George Meany, who was involved with the CIO, the Congress of Industrial Organizations, and he was a plumber and supported the Vietnam War, but I haven't heard anything from any of his descendants. And this one I happened to find, and just as soon as I can bring it up here, I thought we had it here. Let's see here. We're getting there. This is always a problem. I have to do something about this. We've had Eric Hoffer, for instance, a longshoreman. And now let's see. This one's really important, so just bear with me, and I will bring it up here if I can find a bloody thing. Charge J. Oh, where is he? Oh, this is terrible. But anyway, it's important that these young people today, they do have an issue. Some of them are just troublemakers, but there are people who are struggling, who have huge debts because of their expenses to go to university or to college, and they don't see a future better future than their parents or their grandparents had, and so they're raising these issues, and it's something that needs to be addressed, and I want to address it if I can find it here. I just had it shortly, and it's just bear with me. I thought we had it here. Great. Well, anyway, since we're talking about Jay Cook, in the meantime, let me find Bill Rogers, Will Rogers, because what he said about the financial situation back during the Depression is very relevant to what's going on today. And, of course, this is the anniversary of the first Black Friday, which is a financial disaster back in the late 1800s. Excuse me. And now we got Charles de Gaulle. Now we don't want that. And if I can just find it here, let me just keep looking a little bit further. I know we had it. And boy, oh boy, boy, shame on me. Oh, I don't know why this disappeared, but you know, when you want Will Rogers. Okay, no, that's not what, we don't want to do What's Wrong with America. We know What's Wrong with America. Well, this is important, since Mr. O has been talking about he's got a plan for this and a plan for that. Well, this is what Will Rogers said back during the Depression, and it's applicable to today because Mr. O, Obama, does like to quote FDR, even though he doesn't even hold a candle to Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Here's Will Rogers on government plans.
Because in this country there is not who shall be relieved and whose money shall relieve him, but who shall be the one that plays Santa Claus and actually hands out the presents, you know? That's the main part from the day, is who hands out the presents. Here he says he should wear the whiskers. And if you and Mr. Hopkins, they say no, we've got sleigh bells ourselves. Governor Talmadge down in Georgia, he had a plan. It hit a rut and knocked him right out of the bread line last week. Now, it's been a bad week on plans all around. I'm not going to get discouraged, though. In fact, these other failures, well, they've given me confidence, you know? More hope that my plan will be a success. Now, my plan, to state it in a nutshell, and in fact, that's where all plans come from. And the nut should never be cracked. But here is my plan in a nutshell. My plan is a plan to end all plans. It's to do away with all plans. That's what it is. There ain't but one place that a plan is any good and that it'll really work, and that's on paper. But the minute you get it off a sheet of paper and get it out in the air and it blows away, that's what. Now, Mr. Roosevelt, he dragged more heat school marms out of little red schoolhouses. Uh,
Well, that was our Will Rogers, and I'm still trying to find this other thing. It's really screwed up here. Just trying to, I don't know what happened. We'll try one more time to bring this up. It was here, and it's really important that what Will Rogers said, that all these politicians have plans, but they never seem to work. And, of course, we know from the last 4 years of Mr. Rose's maladministration that his plans have not worked, whether it was the bailout. Well, this is interesting about General Motors, that it seems that the General Motors' biggest customer is the federal government, which has bailed them out. Now, isn't that interesting? And you don't hear about that in the corporate media. There are other issues about someone like Solyndra, the notorious Solyndra case. And then there are other Mr. O's plans and that haven't worked. And as Will Rogers said, they look great on paper, but they blow away. That's a fact. I'm going to try one more time to try to get this. This is really a screw up, but it's really important. Also, since we're going to play the second part of the interview, or was scheduled for Friday with Jim, who was a descendant of one of the great American labor leaders who founded a union, we are going to inaugurate a new section called Labor Pains. And, this is really unfortunate. Trying one more time. But we'll play another clip from Will Rogers because he's always funny. And what he said back then during the 30s is applicable to today. It's timeless because history has come full circle. And we have to, if we forget things, they come back even worse the next time around. We always bring these things up from time to time, and just remember what happened then can happen again, and it's worse the second time around. Let's play What's Wrong with America, which is very applicable to today.
Dancing at a Rise and Women's restaurant in New York. And while the nation danced, one man watched it all and discussed the topics of the day. He was Will Rogers.
Now, folks, all I know is just what little news I read every day in the papers. Everybody's talking about what's the matter with this country and what the country needs. What this country needs worse than anything else is a place to park your car. What our big cities need is another orange in these orange aid stands. I'm off Ireland for home rule from now on. I read an Irish paper the other day and it says liquor is 18 cents a quart. Can you imagine a nation wanting more freedom than that?
Florence Ziegfeld kept bringing Will Rogers back to his follies year after year, and Rogers was a hit as usual. The year was 1914. By this time, the First World War had started. In England, they were singing It's a Long, Long Way to Tipperary. In America, they first sang I Didn't Raise My Boy to Be a Soldier, but that changed to I'm Proud to Be the Mother of a Soldier Boy by 1917. Oh, How I Hate to Get Up in the Morning, Katie. And Hinky Dinky Polly Hoo became pop hits. And Over There by George M. Cohan developed into an unofficial anthem, much as God Bless America did 25 years later. Lillian Russell, Douglas Fairbanks, Mary Pickford, William S. Hart, and Jack Dempsey sold war bonds. And thinking of more peaceful moments, Earl Carroll and Enrico Caruso wrote a song together called Dreams of Long Ago. And the great Caruso recorded it.
Your mom.
As the war was ending, John Wanamaker, a department store in Philadelphia, transmitted phonograph record music to John Wanamaker's store in New York without the use of wires. It foretold the coming of a great new segment of showbiz, radio.
Well, that's from our archives, and unfortunately, I'm still trying to upload our... I guess I have too many here. Here we go, Jim. We're going to play it.
Right Among your aunts, an international company that it's non-union. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Now, how do they? Have you ever discussed your feelings or your views with your fellow workers? Or how do they feel? Do you ever pick up anything? Do they feel that they're being treated fairly? You're getting health care and benefits, and I don't know if you get discounts on the products. But how do you feel about the workplace working in a non-union environment?
Well, the way that I think across the board that lots of companies that are, you know, that are like operated, they're known, they'll, you know, they're big, all of their companies are say like, you know, statewide, you know, they're, you know, statewide, but their, you know, the owners are overseas or whatever, even, or what, you know, whatever the case like might be, the whole thing is that everybody's like trying to like cover, is just trying to like, you know, cover their butts, making sure that their like whole company, their whole company like paradigm is something that's going to be a successful one, and keeping those models intact, it's cutting, you know, a lot of just like, you know, what can we do? What, you know, trim, you know, fat trimming, and essentially what you find everywhere is just the marginalization of the employees, whether they like it or not, and whether I think even if the employer wants to or not, everybody's trying to maintain these particular like profit like margins, mm-hmm. You know, for the continued success. And externalities like to it, and there's a lot of different factors too that come into play that aren't, you know, that are very complicated, such as the price of the barrels of crude and so forth. So I don't know whether or not people are happy by it. I mean, people just accept it, folks. It's, you know, people are happy to have a job, and you are told as much if there's any. You know, should you have any second feelings about the place of work on that matter? So,
do you think though that final question, Jim? Do you think that if your place and company was unionized, would it be a better place, or would you feel more secure, or would it just, you think, would it make a difference?
That's a complicated one. The systems of mediation, how mediation is appointed, is really at this juncture very difficult. I mean, there's been a lot of the teeth have been taken out, like in a sense. It's not the same. There's a lot of other like factors that have essentially softened up the influence like of arbitration. To the point where it's there for show when it does exist, but it's shadow really these the mediation is a facade. If it does exist and it does essentially say yes, you know, we are keeping things together with our workers, but companies have set up a lot of strict guidelines by which the union folks like have to follow. So it's not even, it's pretty much they're like a third party that somehow keeps things like at a certain constant, but it's not it doesn't seem to be the most effective tools for any kind of dialogue. I mean, in some cases, I strongly feel that it could still be, it could turn around. At this juncture, it's an impotent, currently stands as a very impotent tool to provide a I guess like a human face or a human sense of togetherness or of some kind of like siblinghood that you would have like with your fellow workers, but as the company, the corporation, in the private or public sector, essentially stands alone as they're an entity, they're a person, it's an individual. So we essentially serve a demagogue that is somehow the face is the company, the company name is a product, and everything is product driven. Everything is the individual that is the company, and then if anything, even though you're given like really little, you know, the best thing you got is a human resources department, which has more so than ever sort of served as the buffer zone where these things that would normally be dealt by the arbitration then are completely like, you know, they're broadsided by these appointed departments that deal with the needs of the employees, but on an incredibly on the company's own terms. There's nothing that's done outside of or that would take any decision like out of the company's hands.
So you don't have a backup. So if there were a union where you worked, the union rep or shop steward would, if there were a dispute between the employee and the management, that the shop steward would accompany you to a meeting and, in effect, be your advocate or protect you from being abused by the management. Is that what you're saying? We're going to play this whole interview, part one, Friday because of this late delay, and we will end today. So we'll be back Friday at 4 p.m., but we're going to end today because of our time schedule with our usual theme, and it seems to be a lot of politics going on, and let's play our theme to end today.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the clown?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing. Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y? I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Yeah, it's politics, but no poker. Anyway, we'll be back Friday at 4 p.m., and we will get into, because of the screw-up on the tape, we'll do part one, our labor pains, our new section, audio interviews about what's going on in the labor sector of our economy, and these things don't generally get published or broadcast or videotaped. And so we'll have Jim, a descendant of a great American labor union leader and founder. And it's a long interview, about 20 minutes, but we'll have part one, the whole thing, of part one Friday. We'll also get into the male rape of John Walker Lynn, which he was underage when this happened, a homosexual Pakistani, according to, I think, Newsweek magazine, if I recall correctly, published this. It wasn't published in the Chronicle or the Bay Guardian or any of these other papers that push leftist, lavender left politics. So we'll be back Friday at 4 p.m. This is Peter Paul Brazilla. Good night. and go to our American Amicus Veritas YouTube site, and we have we've just encountered a Czech border guard dog, a special breed of German Shepherd types that was bred by the Czech Army when Czechoslovakia was under the jackboot of the Russian communist, and these dogs were to prevent, were to protect the border guards. They were to stop escapes to the west, and they were to intimidate, I guess, the people, the Czechs who wanted to flee to that would be close to Austria. And this was prior to 1968, which was known as Czech Spring. So we'll be back. So go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, and that'll be up there later today, and there'll be more. This is Peter Paul Brizola. Good night. Thanks for listening.